We want to update you on what's happening in Japan right now as we watch what could be a nuclear emergency. We're joined live from Tokyo by the New York Times' Hiroko Tabuchi. Hiroko, can you tell us what the latest information is of coming from the three plants that were compromised during the earthquake?
Sure. The biggest damage has been at the Fukushima Daiichi plant, where three reactors are experiencing a possible nuclear meltdown. Basically, today we had an explosion at one of the reactors after a buildup of hydrogen there, and we saw the roof of that reactor being blown out. And the latest is that the third reactor, which had shown signs of recovering, now its cooling system has again failed, and we saw water levels drop, and the fuel rods inside the reactor exposed, which is a very dangerous situation. And officials are now saying that the fuel rods may have been damaged, which suggests that there is a high risk. There is some risk of a partial nuclear meltdown.
And they have evacuated how many people from around that plant?
They have evacuated about 80,000 people from around the plant, and basically anybody in a 20-kilometer radius.
We are going to continue to bring updates from Japan. That is the New York Times' Hiroko Tabuchi reporting for us live from Tokyo. We're also joined by the BBC's environment analyst, Roger Harabin. And Roger, for those of us who are not up on our nuclear physics, help us to understand exactly what's happening here. When something goes wrong at a nuclear reactor, and please correct me if I'm wrong, you can shut down the chain reaction. But the problem is that if the plant has been running for any length of time, there's the radioactive waste material that's left over. That keeps pumping out heat, and you have to cool it down. You can't shut it down. And that's really what's at issue here, correct?
That's absolutely right. And what's happened is a chain of events that they simply didn't forecast. So when this nuclear power station was built, it was supposed to be tsunami-proof and earthquake-proof. But that very fact set into train these events. So number one thing that happens is the earthquake goes off and the power plant shuts down, just as you said. The power plant stops producing electricity and the nuclear reaction is stopped. Number two is that then starves the shutting down of the power station starves power to the grid, which then stops the plant's cooling system working. There are diesel generators as backup, but they have been hit by the tsunami, which is much higher than was predicted at the time and higher than safety limits. So they then go to the third backup, which is electric cooling from batteries. Excuse me, but the batteries run out. We're now into desperate measures, and they're bringing in the fire service to pump seawater. And the extraordinary situation is, and this is almost hard to believe, the fire engines have run out of fuel. There's no fuel in the area, and the fire engines have run out of fuel, at least most of them. There's only one working. So you now have three reactors, which still need to be cooled because of this residual heat that you talked about. But there's one fire engine trying to cool them with seawater.
Now, that desperation doesn't even really begin to describe that. And Roger, correct me if I'm wrong here. I believe a steel-reinforced containment around the steel containment of a typical reactor is concrete that's more than 3 feet thick. That explosion burst through 3 feet thick of steel-reinforced concrete?
Yes, it did, but puzzlingly, the explosions are not as serious as they seem. I mean, if you've seen the TV pictures over the weekend, they're incredibly dramatic of the whole roof blowing off. But that happened because hydrogen was released as an effect of the cause overheating. Hydrogen was released and it started an explosion inside the containment building, the concrete containment building, that blew the roof off. The critical thing is that the steel containment vessel itself, in which the nuclear core sits, in all of these problem reactors, that appears to be intact. And that's what the authorities are really hanging their hats on, that if they can keep those unbreached, then really the safety problem should not be overwhelming, right, but should not be a catastrophe.
But Roger, just quickly, I mean, Celeste described the heat issue, that you described the explosion, 3 feet thick concrete being blown apart like an eggshell. I mean, are the forces out of scale of a single fire engine with a hose that's dry because the trucks run out of fuel?
I mean, clearly this is a massive problem, but one could imagine that although there are fuel shortages in the area, I'm speculating here, you should be able to get some on the helicopter and refuel your fire engines. That might only be a matter of time. But they're pumping in seawater as well, which is an issue. I think probably they haven't even begun to think what they're going to do about that. The seawater will corrode the reactors, so they'll have to write them off. That'll be a hit to the economy and a hit to Japan's power supplies. And then I'll have to work out what to do with the radioactive seawater. But you talked about the explosion effect. I mean, the authorities, having faced explosion in reactor number one hall and then in reactor number three hall, they're now really facing potentially a third explosion in reactor hall number two. And the latest plan seems to be, and I put a caveat across all this, all details are sketchy, the latest plan appears to be to knock some holes in the wall so the hydrogen can escape and doesn't build up and blow out.
Which
and
then,
it's very low-level reactive, so it shouldn't be a major problem.
And let's talk a little bit about that radioactive, the low-level radioactive. I mean, we keep getting measures from the plant's operators themselves and even from the government saying that the level of radiation around these plants is relatively low, although we've gotten reports that five or six employees have full-on radiation sickness. And you'll forgive me for wondering if there are cores actually exposed, that means we do have a problem with radiation.
Well, they're exposed within the containment vessel. excuse me. So there is a problem with radiation if the workers have been caught before the radioactivity has decayed. But the radiation that has escaped through the steam should be short-lived radiation and shouldn't cause a broader problem. And indeed, they're saying that the measurements outside the plant are not higher than normal, except for certain spikes. And that really would suggest that the case is correct. Although if you'd been following the activities of the Japanese nuclear plants over the past few years, where they've deliberately not just concealed information, but falsified records,
absolutely,
falsified video evidence, then you would be a bit dubious if you were Japanese about the quality of information you were getting.
Not just if you're Japanese, Roger. I'm dubious myself. Roger Harabin, the BBC's environment analyst. Sounds as though everything is kind of resting on those steel containment vessels at this point. They say that they are intact. Let's hope that that is the case. Roger, thank you so much.